Here's Ed Taylor with today's episode of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast.
Welcome to today's edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor, and I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, which is a Denver suburb. And today's episode is on the topic of courage, and I guess we could say courage slash fear, and it's specifically recorded in the midst of the coronavirus COVID-19 crisis. We are a few days into, really, we're 4 weeks into different orders that have been given, which the latest one is that stay-at-home order. And as a pastor and as a leader, many, many challenges have come my way to lead the congregation, to lead the team, to serve the flock, to be a faithful pastor and a faithful servant. And I imagine you're tuned into this podcast because you're in a similar position. Now, of course, the topic that we cover, or the topics we cover, are under the banner of servanthood, because I believe the greater position of servanthood that we take is the greater leader that we'll become. You know, that's what Jesus said, or when he's described in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45, it says, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So I want to talk about this topic of courage today, because courage is what's needed to lead in crisis. Courage is what's needed to lead in crisis, because here's what's happening right now, whether you recognize it or not. Let me paint a picture for you. What's happening right now is that change after change after change after change after change after change, we could go on with that, are coming upon you rapid fire. Many of them, most of them, you have no control over. I mean, you might even throw up your hands at one point and go, man, I just don't have any control over these things. And you would be right. Decisions are being made for you, for your family, for those you oversee, for your church, for your organization, that are outside of yourself. And what we need is the courage to press through the changes, the courage to initiate changes. Let me give you an assignment, and you can do this at the end of today, but I would like you to take out a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of it. On the left hand, I'd like you to write out the things that you cannot control. For example, you can't control for a church the tithes and offerings. You can't control what the government stay-at-home order are. You can't control a thousand different things, so many things that you can't control. And it's the things that you can't control that really frustrate you. It's the things that you can't control that really stir up fear and anxiety in you. On the right-hand side of the page, write down the things that you can control. Because I'll tell you that the list on the left-hand side is going to grow quickly. You're just going to begin to think of things that are outside of your control that you have to respond to. And if you're not careful, those things on the side that you can't control will discourage you in thinking you have no control at all. You can't make any choices, but you can make choices. And I want you to write on the right-hand side of the sheet the things that you can control. And I know it's simple, but you can read the Bible. You can pray. You can call someone. You can text someone. You can choose to pray in the midst of fear. You can choose to cast your cares upon the Lord. You get the point. And when you start a running list like this, here's what you do with it. On the right side, the things that you can do and the choices that you can make, make them regularly. Create new habits. And on the left-hand side, pray for the things that you can't control. You know, pray for the things you can't control, lay them before the Lord, allow him to meet you where you are while you're at the same time choosing to be led by the Holy Spirit, making the decisions that you can make as unto the Lord. This will be in and of itself a place to dispel anxiety, fears, and build up in you a courage. And that's what I want to talk about in the remaining moments that we have together, courage. If there was ever a time in our current history where the world is looking for courageous leaders, where the church needs courageous leaders, it's now. The definition, you know, the dictionary defines courage here as the ability to do something that frightens you, or the strength in the face of pain or grief. And courage enables us to make the hard decisions and to be upfront leading people when faced with fear, anxiety, and worry. And I see a couple of different areas because I want to go back and forth between courage and fear. If you're taking notes, consider these things. Number one, we want to pray for a courage to speak so that we can speak forth the word of God. We can speak truth into situations. We want to have the courage to say the hard things. We want to have courage to say no when we have to say no, say yes when we have to say yes. Sometimes there are going to be in crisis like this the necessity to make organizational decisions that might bring pain or hurt into people's lives. And we have to have the courage to speak forth those decisions and those things that God has clearly placed in our path. This is not a time to cower away in passivity. How important it is that you don't become passive during this episode and during this time, you know, during this episode of crisis. Don't become passive, and certainly, please don't become passive aggressive. Be open, be honest, be clear. We've talked about in a previous podcast the need for communication. You now, that not only is there a need for communication, but there's a need for courage to speak. Number two, there's a need for courage to act. And that's not only to say things, but then to do them and to be out in front doing things. And you may, here's a part where fear can come up. First of all, fear in speaking will be, well, what if, what will people think? And what if I say it wrong? Or what if I'm wrong? And on that list can go. The fear with acting is, well, wait a minute, nobody else is doing this. Because, you know, in a crisis, there's this herd mentality. There's this sense of, well, what's everybody doing? I don't really know what to do. So I'm going to do what everyone else is doing. But courage is doing things perhaps that nobody else is doing, that you're the leader of the pack and you have the ability, the God-given ability to do that which frightens you. And you're leading up front by being the chief servant. And then thirdly, I think there's a need for courage in accountability. Number one, in keeping people accountable to the character traits of the word, keeping people accountable to the word. Even though we're in a place, a time of perhaps separation physically, we as leaders still need the courage to be accountable ourselves to the Lord and hold other people accountable. And here's what I found to be true. Courage establishes leadership. While everyone is standing around looking, standing around waiting, courage establishes leadership. And leadership is that person up front leading the pack. Because here's the thing. Here are the things that undermine courage. Number one, there's the fear of man. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. It's a trap to worry about what people think. It's a trap to worry about what people say. And I'm not speaking perhaps good feedback or what the world might call constructive criticism. I mean, just downright critical. Why did you do that? We don't want to do that. Because this rapid fire change is happening around us. It's happening to us. And our response can be to be buried under it all, or we can rise with courage to speak, to act, to hold ourselves and others accountable, and then fighting that fear of man. And then secondly, fighting that fear of failure. I don't know what it is, but we are just afraid to fail. But some of the greatest things have come through failure. And I've even begun to reconsider this topic of failure, that maybe we have it defined a little bit differently than how God sees it. Because in God's eyes, everything is working together for good for those that love. He's working all things together for good. So that is the failure trying something and falling on our face? Or is the failure not doing anything at all? Now, of course, you could say, well, both, Ed, but really in the context of courage, I would suggest to you that a lack of courage and being controlled by fear, especially a fear of failure, paralyzes you into inactivity and paralyzes you into a lack of leadership. And I think there's another fear that we have, and that's a fear of loss. And that's a big one during a crisis like this. What do we stand to lose? And well, I'm going to lose this, and I'm going to lose this, and I'm going to lose this. And before you know it, if you don't conquer these fears by receiving the courage of the Lord, If you don't conquer these fears, you're going to miss out a lot in your life. You're going to miss out on a lot in what God has for you in the church that you oversee, in the home that you oversee, in the people that you influences. You and I, when we speak about courage, we need to make a decision not to be robbed and not to have the opportunity taken from us to lead, taken from us to try something new. Like, for example, with churches right now, I read recently that on the Church Online platform, they received 14,000 new accounts recently. And what that equates to is that 14,000 churches now are broadcasting live stream services that weren't doing it before. And our leadership team, our tech team has helped a few churches themselves where it is a big fear point for them. This whole situation has radically changed how they've always done ministry. And you think of all the changes that we're faced right now, I think of all the changes that we've implemented as a church over the years. We've been a church for 20 years, and it's been 20 years of change. If you walk into a service today, when the Lord allows us to gather together again, and you close your eyes, it'll be very similar to the very first time we met back in Columbia Middle School as we set up the cafeteria for service. But if you opened your eyes, a lot would be different. People would be different. The location would be different. The technology would be different. Resisting change, whether it is micro change or what we're in right now, macro change, is not going to get you where you want to go. You're going to lose a lot of opportunities. And so you can start to pray that God would give you courage. Because here, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage actually acknowledges the reality of the situation and the fearfulness of the situation in our own personal context. Of course, there are fears and anxieties that I have in the role that God has given to me that might be similar to you, but yours would be different in the context by which God has given you to serve. And so the idea of, well, I'm courageous, and you're putting on this false front that you're not fearful, not at all. Remember when we talked about communication, we want to be clear, concise, and honest. And courage actually speaks to the real honesty of how we're feeling in the midst of all these things being thrust upon us. I mean, these aren't changes that we have instituted. These are changes that are coming rapid fire that we're responding to. And we don't want to live in a series of regrets because fear paralyzed us. This is not, the time that we're in right now is not a time for passivity. And even worse yet, this nasty sinfulness of passive aggressiveness. Our time is not to be sitting on our hands, but rather to rise to the occasion. What is it that God has allowed us to do? Where is he leading? You know, I think of Joshua. When I think of courage, I think of Joshua, that assistant, or it says in Joshua chapter 1, he was Moses' assistant, and Moses was the servant of the Lord. And Moses died, and now Joshua, he's been prepped and groomed for this very moment. He has been trained. He has been developed to go lead the children of Israel into the promised land, into the promises of God. He's leading them into the future. The only thing is he doesn't quite know how hard the future will be. And what does God do? He comes to him in Joshua chapter 1, and he begins to encourage him. He begins to tell him in verse 3, everywhere the sole of your feet will tread, I've given you. I'm like, yeah. And then he starts giving Joshua the borders. And then he says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll not leave you or forsake you. Those are the necessities of courage, to know that God is with us. He is with us and he will be with us. And then there's that promise, he'll never leave or forsake us. That promise is repeated over and over again, especially to us in the new covenant. Then he says, verse 6, be strong and good courage. Be strong and good courage. How important it is for us to be strong and in good courage. The Hebrew word there means determined, bold, conqueror. It means strong and courageous, like it's translated. It speaks of prevailing in war. It speaks of growing strong. It has the idea of being strengthened and to have a hardened attitude and heart towards something, not in the negative, but in the positive. This is what God offers to Joshua and to you and me. And then he says, only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Find yourself strengthened. This is the second time now that he's telling them, be strong and very courageous so you can do all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And then he gives the instruction. Here's the source of strength. Okay, leader, servant, this is the source. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Observe to do according to all that is written. Then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. So here we go. Courage and fear in the same place. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our courage comes from the presence of God. That is the acknowledgement of the presence of God. He is with us. We don't have to make all the decisions ourselves. We don't have to figure everything out. You might want to think that through when you're in the midst of something where you're thinking, well, we just need to figure this out. Well, when you start to walk in the realm of figuring things out, then you're almost one step outside of the faithfulness of God. Because, you know, many times, God will call us to tasks that are much larger. I mean, pretty much everything is bigger than we can handle, even the slightest things. But here's the problem. We begin to measure them with our own abilities and our own capacities. Look, leadership and courage are intertwined. And courage doesn't come by getting a seminary degree. Courage doesn't come because of our education or our talents or our experience. Courage comes from the Lord. So you look at this situation and you're like, well, I'm not able to do that. And you are right. You are right. We are not able. We have not passed this way before, as Joshua will share later with the children of Israel. Somehow we think that when God calls us to do something, that then we have to figure it all out. We have to write it all down. We have to come up with a game plan. And then once that game plan, and we bounce it off people and clarify it, and then we can give the game plan to those that we're leading. And again, there's a balance here, because of course we're going to get feedback, and of course we're going to get input. None of us are going to just run out and be haphazard. Leaders are careful, and leaders are cautious in the area of courage, because careless leaders are thoughtless leaders. So there's always this confidence that's tempered by caution. There's nothing wrong with caution, and there's nothing wrong with being careful. But there is something challenging, and I would even say wrong, that when we measure the task before us by our limited abilities and our limited understanding, somehow we think that when God calls us to do something, that then we have to figure it out. We have to apply our talents. We have to hone our abilities. We have to work hard and figure this thing out. And that would be a mistake every time. God will not call us and lead us to do anything, but that he'll also equip us to do it. And I think we just need to be reminded of that today. God is in the midst of this crisis, and he encourages courage, and he reminds us of his presence, and he leads us past our fears of man and our fears of failure and our fears of loss. And even if we do fall on our face, and even if we do lose, and even if we do are overwhelmed by man's criticisms, even those will be used by God, because he's working all things together for the good. And if we don't learn to conquer our fears, this is worth repeating, if we don't learn to conquer our fears, then we're going to miss out on a lot of what God wants to show us, of what God wants to do in and through us, and quite possibly, we will hurt the people that we were called to serve. God will not call you to anything that he won't also equip you to do it. The callings of God are also the enablings of God. And if God has called you to something, and you were born for a time like this, we were born for this, that the midst of this difficulty and challenge that's hitting our families, hitting our finances, hitting our churches, hitting our mind, it's overwhelming at times, but we were born for this. And the calling of God, He has us in this time period now, leading now. And if God has called you to do something, you don't need to fear. Jeremiah was called to go and speak to the king. He said, oh, he'll never listen to me. I'm only 17 years old. But God had called him. And the callings of God come with the equipping of God. And I have found over the years that the cure and the solution for fear and anxiety in my life is and begins with the consciousness of the presence and the power of God. David encourages us when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's him and his presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where does courage come from? Certainly, it comes from the presence of the Lord that dispels our fears. God is with me. I won't fall into the trap of fear. I don't need to fear because God has promised to be with me wherever I go and in whatever I'm doing. And in my relationship with Him, I'm able to serve and lead well because I've chosen to abide in Christ. And that response is that Christ Jesus, He abides in me. And as I abide in His word and His commandments, He then lives out His presence and purpose in my life. Now, does that mean that something's wrong when you're fearful? No, not exactly. I mean, certainly fear, the fear of man, as we mentioned earlier, the fear of failure, the fear of loss, maybe you have a few more fears to add in, can certainly take us away from a life of abiding faith. How careful we need to do to obey what the Bible says, to be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the presence of the Lord is what dispels fear, what encourages us and reminds us of the plan and purposes of God. This is God's sovereign will being worked out, not ours. And if there was ever a time where God is revealing to us that we're not in control, it's true. It's God's sovereign control that we lean into. It's God's sovereign control that we press into, because we don't always want, and I want to close up with this thought, actually a couple thoughts, but we don't always want to be responsive. We want to get out ahead and recognize that things are the way they are, but now where are we going next? Not just waiting for the next decision to come down, not just waiting for the next announcement, not just waiting for the next press conference, but what's next? What is it that God has for our local congregation? What is it that God has for my family? What is it that God is speaking to me in order to move forward and take them into the promised land like Joshua did? Joshua, he was leading a nation into the promised land, but remember, he was also leading them into an incessant time of war and challenges and temptations and idolatry and even defeat, like we saw with Ai, and like we saw in the book of Joshua with the Gibeonites and their lies and temptations. The courage that God gives to us is to press on, like the writer to the Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, like Paul said, hey, you have need for endurance, and the courage that you have is enabling you to trust God to lead you through. I know a lot of this isn't new, but it's good to hear again, isn't it? It's good to hear that God is with me. It's good to hear that the situations I'm facing are insurmountable. And so what do we normally do? We look to education. We look to talents. We look to our degrees, perhaps. We look to our experience and go, well, you know, I've been through this and I can get through another one. No. This is a brand new challenge. And the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. And He will direct our paths during this time. And I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord. I know that courage is is needed, and God is ready to give you the courage, and he's ready to give you the strength, and he's ready to give you. And how is that? He's going to remind you of his presence. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I promise to never leave you or forsake you, Jesus says. And you and I, we don't need to fear, because God has promised to be with us wherever we go and whatever we're doing. And it's my prayer for you, and it's my prayer for us, that we lead with courage and confidence, laying our fears before the Lord. Because there is that, and you can look it up in Luke chapter 19. Remember, there was that unfaithful servant that improperly feared his master. Instead of embracing who he knew his master to be, he improperly feared, and it cost him everything. And may the Lord encourage us and strengthen us as servants to have a healthy fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of strength. It's the beginning of courage and the ability to take the next step and to make the next decision, leading people, the people of God, into the promises of God. And that is an end to our time today. I wish we had more time, but we don't. Until then, connect with me. You can text me, 720-608-0012, or you can email me directly, ed@edtaylor.org. I post a lot of things up there as well. If you want to read on prophecy, on grief, on life, on ministry, edtaylor.org, O-R-G. And our church website, a lot of information that we're posting there during this crisis is CalvaryCO, that's for Colorado, CalvaryCO.church. Until next time, I'm grateful to be a very small part of the huge, amazing work that God's doing in your life. Stay in touch with me. I'd love to hear what God is doing. Till next time, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.